That's the globalist known as Tough. Now, that's Tough with American Hair Band. Of course, you could see Stevie Rochelle and Tough at the Summer Bash in 2 weeks.
And he will be there with bells on.
Yeah, and then just before that, of course, we heard Billy Morris, who will be having a CD release party, and he will be headlining that show.
That's right.
So, good time.
I thought we were the headliners. Are we not the headliners?
No, we are the hosts.
Oh. I thought everybody was coming to see us, and we were providing some bands to entertain them between our appearances.
Well, what we should do is we should set up a mock CMS broadcast studio on the stage and pretend like we're doing the show up there.
Maybe I could talk Billy into letting me do my Scars song. How awful would that be? I just climbed up on a stool and sat there, and Billy strumming a guitar with me doing my stupid Scar song.
Yeah. I still say it sounds like a cross between
Johnny Cash and Satan.
Yeah, Johnny Cash and what was that? Johnny Cash and can't remember.
I don't remember.
Yeah, but that's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, I know what it is. It's cool. For a first effort, it wasn't too bad.
No, not at all. I mean, for somebody who's never, you know, really recorded a song per se, aside from doing some goofy video shit with your army buddies.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually writing it, that's a whole nother thing too. You know, writing lyrics, I would say it was hard, but it wasn't. I wrote them in 10 minutes. So,
right.
You know, it wasn't terribly tough, but, you know, there's more coming. Should I ever get a break, I want to get back to working on song number two. You know, we've worked on it, but I there's something missing in it, and I know it, and I can't figure it out. And so I'm actually going to have John over here to help me kind of flesh it out, because he's written a bunch of songs. Not good ones, but he's written some.
It's missing the hook, man.
You know what? It doesn't have a chorus. The second song has no chorus.
Well, maybe you could do like the Crash Test Dummies and just put and make that the chorus.
Well, I'll tell you what, at this point, Jan would like me to do anything. He would like me to just come in and shit on the microphone and record it so that he could fucking use it, because I've just been so busy. I haven't had time for music writing and working on songs, but, you know, with our big famous band that we're putting together, Finnish superstars known as Jan and Chris.
Right, exactly. Very good. All right. Last week, we had our good friend Sean Nichols, i.e. Sheldon Tarsha, on the show. I see that made the rounds.
Yes.
It just took one sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Blotzer is bullshit.
He's full of shit.
Yeah, that just took one sentence, and it made all the music news sites and made it up on Metal Sludge, of course, and Blabbermouth was the biggest outlet, which they picked up on that.
Now, admit it. The second he said it on the show, you knew it was going to be on Blabbermouth.
You know, I didn't even really think about it, but I was surprised, knowing our history with Sean, mm-hmm. and how he always never wanted to say anything too controversial.
Yeah.
He never wanted to go outside of those bounds ever. Nope. I mean, he would tell us stuff off the air in a phone call.
Yep.
But then he'd always say, oh, I won't say this on the show, or I don't want to say stuff like this, you know, or whatnot. And we always respected that.
Sure.
But when he did go off and say that, I was just like, wow, this is a whole new Sean.
Yeah, and I like it.
I mean, I did not expect him to say anything like that. I just thought, oh, yeah, the experience was cool and, you know, good luck to him and whatever. But to say, yeah, he's not really above board. And, you know, to be honest with you, I could never work with the guy because basically he's full of shit. It's like, really? That came from you?
That was surprising.
Yeah. Sean seemed very relaxed on the show. He almost sounded as if he was happy to be on the show again.
Oh, he is, dude. You know, he loves doing this show. He's told me that many times, that he fucking does not love doing interviews, but he likes doing this show because, you know, we're like buds.
Yeah, of course.
We're definitely not So you recorded with Westfield Massacre. What was that like? What comes to mind?
Right. So good.
Yep.
So anyway, I appreciate Sean and Stevie for taking some time out last week to talk to us here on the show.
Right.
And speaking of people who talk to us on the show, you interviewed our good friend Chips Enough.
Yes.
Another guy that we've known for umpteen years.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he only lives like 40 minutes away from here, he has never made the trip over here to be live on the show with us.
Oh, it's 40 minutes, dude. Without a car, that's like 16-hour walk.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I figured out that the only way that I'm ever going to get Chip to come here mm-hmm. is I'm going to have to send a car for him.
Or just take a picture of a big bowl on your table. Say, hey, you want to smoke this? Then it'll be over. If you put like weed in your table.
Right.
That's about the only way he'll come.
Well, I guess he'd have to figure out how to get over here. But yeah, that's the only way I'm going to get Chip here is I'm going to have to send the car and have him brought here.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, I don't think he drives or travels. You know, obviously he travels, but I mean, he doesn't like drive places.
Wouldn't that be funny if he rolled up in the tour bus? Because he doesn't really have a vehicle other than riding on a tour bus.
Yeah.
Rolled up in your neighborhood on the tour bus.
But I would like nothing more than to get Chip to come down and hang with us for a show.
Oh, I know.
And the invite has been out there for 13 years.
Dude, that if he ever agrees to do it and really is going to do it, I'll drive in for that. I will make the 5-hour drive as well for that. Because that would be so much fun.
We got to go get some food first. That was the last thing he said when I went out to several shows, and I'm going to get to that here. But, you know, being that he lives in the area mm-hmm. and I do sometimes go out to some shows, you know, I'll run into him.
Right.
And, you know, I'm just like, Chip, you know, come on, dude. It's been like 13 years. What's it going to take to get you down there? Well, I'll come down, but we got to go get some food. We got to go have some dinner.
Don't want any pizza either, man. I want some good grub.
Yeah, well, dude, I'll spring for dinner.
Yeah,
it's not a big deal. I'll take you to Ruth Chris if that's what you want to do.
Dude, I expect a steak, and it better be good. Chip.
Yeah, Chip's a character. But anyway, I was going to play this on the show last week because it made me laugh.
Okay.
The little postscript of your interview, his message to me.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't get to play this, but this is the kind of guy Chip is.
Yeah.
So here's a message that he gave to you to give to me.
Yes.
This just made me laugh.
Okay.
All right, brother. Quick and easy.
Chris, great talking with you, buddy. Love you. I always have. We go back 30 years.
Absolutely, dude.
Please give Wendell my love because he's adorable. He comes out. He does all the shows. I see him at the big concerts and stuff.
Sure.
He's not only a great radio guy, but he's also a big fan, and he knows, does his homework, and you guys together are a great 1-2 punch.
Thanks, man. Well, dude, I will definitely see you when you make your way to the Cleveland area. I will definitely come and find you, and we will have a beer or two or three together.
Or smoke a joint. God bless you, bro.
All right, brother.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, cheers. Brother. Peace.
I'm adorable.
You're adorable.
What I would say to Chip, what are you smoking? But then I go, oh, yeah.
You know, now that I'm like single and I don't work a job, I would like to get high with Chip. I'm not going to lie. Next time I see Chip, I'm going to get high with him for the story, of course.
You're going to get high on the new thing.
That's right. But I would like to smoke some weed with Chip. I'm probably the one guy that he's friends with that hasn't.
Right.
You know, I'd like to do that.
Remember when Enough's Enough was on that Poison tour?
Oh, yeah.
And you and I went back and Chip was like, yeah, come on the bus.
Come on up here, guys.
And you and I went on the bus with him and he was sitting there just rolling and smoking. We might have been on the bus a half hour.
Yeah.
And I'll bet you he went through 3 joints in that half hour.
He was chain buzzing, I guess.
He was. And we were just sitting there just like, okay, Chip, you know, and he's just like rolling and smoking. It's like, all right, dude, we got to go.
He does like his weed. That's for damn sure. Which is great. I have no problem with that, but, you know, he does love it.
He does. He does. But, yeah, you and I have hung out with Chip on several occasions.
Did you listen to the record, the new one, Diamond Boy?
I have not listened to it yet.
Not terrible. I really was not, I did not have super high hopes for it. I don't know why.
Well, because Donnie's not involved and Chip is doing all the singing, right?
Yeah, Chip does all the singing, and I didn't love the solo record that he did. The Chip's Enough solo record that he did, was it called Stranger Time or something? Like from like 2 years ago?
Yeah, the one he did the whack-ass video with the stroke.
Yeah, but I gotta admit, it was pretty good. Not terrible, man.
So what distinguishes a Chip solo record from a Enough's Enough record of today?
It sounds like Enough's Enough.
So what do you think he did differently for a solo as opposed to, you know, Enough's Enough? Because, I mean, seriously, who's in Enough's Enough?
Yeah, well, you know what? I think it's a writing style. I think he probably has songs. I think that weird album that he did, I think, was just things that he knew did not fit the Enough's Enough mold.
Okay.
He still thought were good songs, because don't forget, he works with a ton of other bands.
Oh, I know. I'm well aware of that. I mean, he does producing and stuff for everybody else.
Yeah. So he probably has written a bunch of songs that didn't end up going anywhere, but were definitely not written in the soundscape of Enough's Enough.
Not very Beatlesque.
Yeah. But these new ones aren't really Beatles like. They're way more almost Cheap Trick. Which is also, you know, a band that they've been compared to.
Yeah, many of course, times. Because, you know, the Cheap Trick is from Rockford, Illinois, which is just, you know, mm-hmm. 80 miles west of Chicago, so.
And I think that of the two, I think Donnie was always like the 60s guy, and Chip was a little more rock guy. And that's why this new record sounds a little more Cheap Trick or rock, you know, because it's Chip writing all the stuff now, but. It's a good record, man. I'm not just saying it because Chip's our friend, because Lord knows in the last 4 months, me and Chip had an issue.
But, yeah, you did.
But, you know, I was pleasantly surprised when I heard the record, you know, very much enjoying it. And have it. I have it on my phone. I was listening to it this afternoon. It's a good record.
Nice. Well, when you spoke to Chip, mm-hmm. did you address that issue with him at all?
I most certainly did. I actually apologized. A rare moment.
Well,
that
I know during, you know, but I mean, was there any words before or after the interview regarding nope. that, or it was just part of the interview?
Part of the interview.
I gotcha.
We didn't do. I didn't go out of my way to make it an issue beforehand because I didn't want to turn it into, you know, a shitty interview.
I getcha. But I mean, you know, you and I both have known Chip for 20 plus years.
Forever, man. Yeah,
you know, so for him to actually have a hard on, you know, for you, for you know, the comments that you made would be ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And you know, he did call you out a little bit on Facebook,
right?
But the thing is I think Chip really knows what your intent was.
Yeah, and that was it. And I'm sure you heard it in the interview. I said to him, I said, dude, I want nothing more than to be wrong. And I said that in the video that I put out, that I wanted to be wrong on it. I just didn't. I thought the rooms were too big for what they were, for what the tour was, you know. And look, he said in the interview that they've sold a bunch of tickets and I'm happy. And, you know what? I'm happy to hear that it's doing well. And I'm happy to be wrong on that one. You know, I just am. I don't want, dude, nothing would make me happier than if Chip's Enough had some kind of success, because he's a great friend of the show. He's always been a good friend. And I don't mean the kind that, like, when we talk to him, he's nice to us. I mean, always bringing us into his world whenever we're in the same building, you know. And the last thing I would ever want is for that guy to be like, oh, you guys are turned into fucking dicks.
Well, he did indicate to you that they listened to us out on the road.
He did say that, yeah. Which is always funny to me.
Yeah, I agree.
It's always funny to me thinking of these guys rolling around the country listening to our stupid shit.
Right.
Too good.
Well, you know, I realize, and again, I'm not trying to blow our own horn here. Trust me, I'm not. But when I've gone to NAMM for a couple of, you know, couple of years in a row.
Yeah.
And Bob Nelbandian, you know, our good friend Bob Nelbandian, that guy's a stalwart warrior. Mm-hmm. I mean, that guy is amazing. But he's introduced me, you know, he introduced me to a lot of people that I did not know, you know, because Bob knows everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he'll be walking through this huge ass
arena or whatever.
Yeah, it'll be, you know, it's just a huge convention center.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob knows every other person who walks by.
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on there, so-and-so, you know, and he did not fail to introduce me to everybody that he stopped to talk to.
Sure.
Which was very kind of him. Mm-hmm. And I was surprised at how many times I got a reaction with, dude, I listen to your show every week. You know, it's like, oh, well, thanks.
Yeah.
You know,
because,
you know, he'd introduce me. Yeah, this is Neely from the Classic Metal Show. Oh, shit, dude. Seriously? Wow. You know?
Yeah, wow.
Like, yeah. It's like, I listen to you guys all the time. You guys are fucking hysterical.
Thanks. Meanwhile, it'll be somebody that sold like 30 million records, and we've listened to them probably 100 times more. Yeah. But okay, now they're fans of us. Cool.
Yeah. But yeah, I feel, you know, again, I don't want to get all sentimental, but I feel very blessed in mm-hmm. the experiences that I've gained by doing this show for so long.
Well, that's an adorable sentiment.
Because I'm adorable.
The adorable Neely.
Let's hear that again.
All right, brother. Quick and easy.
Chris, great talking with you, buddy. Love you. I always have. We go back 30 years.
Absolutely, dude.
Please give Wendell my love because he's adorable. He comes out. He does all the shows. I see him at the big concerts and stuff.
Sure.
He's not only a great radio guy, but he's also a big fan. And he knows, does his homework. And you guys together are a great 1-2 punch.
Thanks.
He's adorable.
He's adorable.
Too funny.
Yeah, we're a 1-2 punch.
Yeah, we are. Unfortunately, sometimes it hits people in the jaw.
So good. So good.
Yep, yep.
All right, well, speaking of a 1-2 punch.
Yes.
It was brought to your and my, well, not so much my attention. You kind of brought it to my attention this week.
Yeah.
That apparently somebody from our past, or a couple of people from our past.
Yes.
Have resurfaced.
They have.
And apparently one is plagiarizing from the other one.
That is how I read it.
One is cannibalizing the other.
Right.
And that's the only way that I can describe it.
Mm-hmm.
And before I jump into this, I want to play this real quick.
Okay.
Play this little bumper here.
Okay.
And then we'll get into it and talk about it a little bit.
Okay.
Where the hell is? Here we go.
You guys have been around for almost 30 years. What comes to mind? The album that you guys just released recently is your 9th album to date. Did you ever think that this day would come? Can you introduce yourself and tell me what you do in the band and how long has the band been around? Who produced this album and what was it like working with them? What was it like to perform on Jimmy Kimmel Live back in October, especially on Halloween? Did you all go trick-or-treating afterwards? Your band has been around for 18 long years. How does this make you feel? How long does it take you to get your hair in the way that you're known to have it?
Yngwie, your incredible playing style has been described, among other things, as neoclassical metal brilliance. Like we said, you have a latest album out, Spellbound, that Tony and I really are playing into submission. I think we need another copy of it, and we played it so much.
It is terrific.
Yngwie, obviously writing a book is different than playing guitar, but I wanted to ask you, how did you find writing the book? Did it come easy, hard? What was it like writing it?
I wanted to go way back. The first time I ever saw Cinderella play was on the David Lee Roth tour, which I believe started in 1986. Do you have any memories of that tour you could share with us, touring with David Lee Roth? Was he a nice guy? Was he a dick?
Amazing in quotes.
Cheers.
I want to thank our fake producer, Wheezy, for putting that together.
Yeah, might be former producer the way that Mark Miller's going.
Well, anyway, this week, it was brought to our attention.
Yes.
Jaden Shea posted this over at that our little chat thing. What is that?
Facebook?
Yeah, it's, what is it? It's
Messenger or whatever.
It's the Classic Metal Show group.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we covered Natalie's World years ago.
Right.
And, of course, we had our run-ins with the Moose.
The Moose.
And we always, what we always busted on the Moose for,
yeah,
was being lazy.
Dude, he's the Rev. I can't even call him.
Oh, the Rev. That's right. The Rev.
I can't call him the Moose.
The Moose, West JQs, the Rev.
J.S. Bannerman.
All these names that he's come up with.
Yeah.
But we always talked about how he was lazy.
Yes.
And Natalie's World, who we've goofed on.
Yeah.
And to some extent, with some of her posts that she made about our segments,
mm-hmm.
I think she kind of gets the joke a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't take her as an enemy necessarily.
No, not at all. And because she's posted some of our segments on her website.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of think she gets it a little bit.
Yeah.
She didn't really seem like she was pissed or anything that we goofed on her.
No.
But apparently, the Rev, aka mm-hmm. the Moose, aka mm-hmm. West Jacuz, whatever.
Yeah.
He continues to dabble in online content.
Apparently.
Yeah. And he started Moose Radio up again, and he was doing all this independent music.
Yeah.
And he was like on Spreaker. Does he still do that thing on Spreaker? Do you know?
I don't believe so.
No.
I believe Moose Radio is on hiatus. They've retired to the Cheetos dust home in the sky, I think.
Right. Just kind of got old.
Yeah, well, it got old the first broadcast he did.
Well, it got old, and not only that, he had no listeners.
Well, no listeners and nobody to do anything for him.
Right.
Yeah, Moose Radio is not. The only thing that comes up is us.
Well, didn't he change the name to something about what do you call it? The review or something?
Oh, I don't know.
I think he changed the name from Moose Radio to something review or whatever.
Was it because we were dogging him? I don't know.
No, I don't think it really had anything to do with us. I think he was just trying to find a name that would attract some listeners.
Now, I'm looking at West JQs and I'm looking at Moose and nothing's coming up except for us. So apparently he's gone.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Natalie from Natalie's World,
mm-hmm.
she posted this out for people to take notice.
Right.
So she put out there, attention PR, label managers, and bands. Urgent message from NatalieSWorld.com.
Whoa, strap in. This is urgent.
This is an urgent message.
Right.
It has come to attention, and mind you, Natalie's not the sharpest knife in the drawer.
Right.
So her, quote unquote, her urgent message kind of lacks grammatics or contains grammatical errors.
All right.
So I'm going to read it exactly how she wrote it.
Okay.
It has come to attention.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like morning wood to me. Comes to attention.
Did it come to my attention or it has come to our attention?
Everyone's attention. Oh. It's come to attention.
Okay. It's come to attention.
It stood up straight.
Exactly. That Wes Moose JQ's.
Yeah.
The owner and runner.
And runner.
He's the runner.
Runners. What's that mean? He runs?
I don't know.
A little track practice while with the microphone?
Maybe he's the owner operator.
Yeah. He's the runner.
Yeah. He's the runner of the companies. He's got a company. Metal Coffee PR.
Metal Coffee PR.
Look that up. See if you can find anything on that.
See, Metal Coffee. I'm going to put in Metal Coffee first in Spreaker. Oh, there is some Metal Coffee showcasing. Wait a minute. We might have something here. Want to hear some?
Yeah, sure.
I'm just first time. God, this is 60 minutes of sound checks. But here, I'll just play a little. Here we go.
The Metal Lucio's on the air across the globe, he's everywhere. See him dust all over the place, on the mic and in his face. New school, old school, doesn't care. If he rocks, you'll find it here. Look at the world, he's on the loose. The Metal Lucio starts right now.
Wow. That was pretty heavy.
Yeah, the Metal Moose starts right now.
All right, well, let's see what he's starting to bring. Is this just bands?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Oh, so he's not talking?
Well, can you pull up the wave?
Yeah, I can see the wave.
It yeah, just... we'll go to the part that's like really low in the mix. Let's
see. These are all high. Try this. It's not. Come on, play. No. Go to a low. I think he just plays music.
Yeah, just back to back to back.
Yeah, because I'm hitting different spots. Yeah, it's just all music.
Okay.
All right, so he's just playing tunes. He's doing well, though. He has 6 plays and 41 downloads on this one.
Well, this is what I think he changed Moose Radio to.
Well, dude, he's doing well. He's got 47 interactions with this thing that was only released 12 days ago.
Okay.
Let's see how many more he has. Let's see how his show's doing. Let's see. Metal Moose from Soundchecked. Let's see. Soundchecked. Well, let's see. Metal Moose tracks of the week. Metal Moose tracks from 8-9, 1 day ago. Wow, 24 downloads and 7 plays.
All right.
Okay, let's go to an old one so that we're not making fun of bad numbers here. I'll go to the oldest one. Metal Moose Comp and Stuff Volume 1. This is from June 15th. Dude, this thing is fucking... You can't believe the plays this guy's getting. 60 downloads and 17 plays.
All right.
In 2 months. That's fucking great. 77 interactions. This guy is a fucking boob. Why can't he figure out that it's time to move on?
Yeah.
Does he think that this is good? 77? Dude, 77? We have 10 times that listening right now.
I am loving this.
Thank you, Moose. Moose Rev.
All right. Well, to continue on.
All right.
He is the runner of the company's Metal Coffee PR, which used to be Moose Radio.
Right.
Soundchecked.
Okay.
And The Grinder.
Well, let's look up the Grindr. Sounds like a gay dating site.
It does.
Isn't there a gay dating site called Grindr?
I think there is. I think it's, what is it, like, what is that one you swipe left or...
Why am I brain dead on this? Tinder.
Tinder. Isn't that the gay Tinder?
I think it is. The Grindr Metal. Because I really don't want to see fucking gay sex. Well, the Grindr's not coming up at all.
Okay.
Not even in Google.
So. All right.
Okay.
He has been using an assortment of interview questions. I, myself, Natalie Perez.
Well.
Have come up with on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And used various times over the last months, if not years even.
Right.
Particularly through Stencil PR and Doer PR, to name off a few of the companies I have worked with, but Wes Moose JQ has as well.
Right.
What this boils down to, T-O-O, boil down to.
Two, okay. Also,
this, what this boils down also.
Right.
Is this. Wes Moose JQ's and his companies has stolen my questions. Using my questions even after I confronted him about it this past June! Exclamation point.
Whoa.
He refuses to stop using the questions and is still sending out these questions to numerous PR, bands, labels, management, etc., without my permission or a word of anything to me.
Oh, my God.
Here are some examples.
Mm-hmm.
This is a Natalie's World interview, a written interview, mind you.
Yes.
So here is a list of the questions that she has asked a band.
Okay.
One of the questions is, please tell us about the history of your band and its members.
Okay.
Question number two, what's the origin of the band's name?
Okay.
Question number three, where is the band based out of and what is your musical scene like there? Are there any local bands you could recommend?
Okay.
She's interviewing a band and she's asking them to recommend somebody else.
Yeah. Since nobody likes you, who else should they listen to? Yeah,
who else should they listen to from that scene?
Who might be good in your scene since it ain't you?
Right. Number four, how would you describe your style?
Okay.
Number five, what have you released so far and what can someone expect from your works?
Oh my goodness. Kidding me?
This goes back to what Chip said. You guys do your homework and you're like a 1-2 punch. This is like, I have no idea who the fuck you guys are. You know, this interview was thrown in my direction, so you're just going to have to do the interview. Because I don't know who you are.
These questions are the ones that both Sean and Chip hate getting into.
Absolutely.
I don't want to shit on Natalie too hard on this because I get it. She's what she's trying to do, I think, is set like what you would do with a new band. You know, try and set the boundary of who these guys are that you've never heard of before.
It's introducing the artist to a new audience.
But the real problem with doing these kind of interviews is that they're so sterile that you really don't get anything but stock answer back. They're stock. When you send out stock questions, you get stock answers back, which makes it a boring, unmemorable interview.
Yeah. And then people lose interest or they won't even, you know, view it or read it at all.
Yeah. As much as it's a pain in the ass, what you have to do if you're going to do print is you have to do the interview anyway, listen to what they're saying, react to what they're saying with questions based on what they say, and then type it out. as much as that's a big pain in the ass, that's what you have to do.
Yeah, but if that is a pain in the ass to you, you're probably not in the right business.
Yeah.
Because anybody who does this has to have a passion for it.
Yeah. Believe me, I got out of print for that reason. I got very tired of typing out answers. When we were doing Music's Bottom Line, did you remember that shit? Do an interview and then have to type that shit out? Oh, just fucking brutal. Look, there's Nally's World Bus.
Right. Natalie's Whirl.
Whirl.
I like how Phil joins Natalie with Jennifer.
Yeah.
Jaffer.
It's good.
We're getting back to the questions here.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any new music in the works? How about playing shows and touring? Have anything planned out? That's actually a question.
Wow, it's a good one.
What plans do you have for the future as a band?
Okay. Well, you know, we're going to retire. What kind of question is that? What plans do you have in the future to keep playing?
Yeah, we hope to be successful. That's our future.
If I can answer the questions without knowing who the band is, and my answers are exactly the same as theirs, then that's not a question you should be asking a band.
Right.
That's kind of a rule, Natalie. Just a heads up, just a little learning experience for you. If anybody can answer the question other than the band and still be exactly what the band says, it's not a good question to ask.
I agree.
You know, it's like asking somebody, do you have a mother? You know, everybody has a mother. You know, she might be dead, but everybody has a mother. I mean, come on. Dumb.
Number 9, where can we listen to your band and where can we buy your stuff? Number 10, what is it like? What is it you like a listener to remember the most when hearing your music for the first time?
The sound.
The actual song. So that is some of her questions.
Those are good.
So I'm going to go back to Metal Coffee PR Samples.
Okay.
And read some of his questions.
All right.
He has a website. It's metalcoffeegrinder.blogspot.com.
As in Blogspot being free website.
Yeah, of course. Everything's free with this guy.
Can't spend that $3 a month.
No. Hasn't this always been the low-do show?
Yeah, well,
everything is for nothing.
Yeah. Jesus, Blogspot?
Yeah, Blogspot.
My God. Dude, I used to use Blogspot on the CMS website, not as like the host, but you remember when we used to have content that would update all the time?
Mm-hmm.
I would use Blogspot because it was just easy to, I could type it and save it and it would post into the CMS's pages. So I used to use Blogspot for that as like a feed before RSS took over.
Right.
And this guy is using Blogspot? What the fuck, man? Too funny.
So here's the questions that were submitted to, I think the name of the band is called Formicarlus. Formicarlus. Formicarlus.
Oh, them. I have all their stuff.
Yeah. So here's question number 1. Please tell us about the history of your band and its members. Question number 2. What's the origin of the band's name?
Oh, no.
Question number 3. Where is the band based out of and what is your music scene like there?
What a lazy son of a bitch.
Yeah. Number 4, how would you describe your style? Number 5, what have you released so far and what can someone expect from your works?
Oh my God.
Number 6, do you have any new music in the works? Number 7, how about playing shows and touring? Have anything planned out?
Oh.
Number 8, what plans do you have for the future of the band? Number 9, where can we listen to your band and where can we buy your stuff?
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And then number 10, of course, is what is it you'd like a listener to remember the most when hearing music, your music for the first time?
Why would you steal these questions?
Because, and I think, you know, I pointed it out to you when you brought this to my attention this week.
Yeah.
It's because they're printed out already and all he had to do was just copy and paste.
Unbelievable.
That's it.
Wow. God, I hope she sues him.
How do you sue for something like that?
Well, you could. It's still copyrighted.
No. How is it copyrighted?
I guess it's not copyrighted.
Nah.
He's still fraud. There's got to be something. You can't just blatantly. I guess you can.
I mean, it's just on the internet. I mean, I'm sure Natalie isn't smart enough to copyright everything she puts out there.
Yeah. No, she copyrighted it now, then he couldn't use it in the future. But man, that's just poor. That's just poor.
Well,
man.
Apparently this is the standard group of questions because I'm looking at the other interviews that have been sent out to other bands.
Okay.
And they basically sent out the same questions to every band that they interview.
Fantastic.
Same group of questions.
You know what's most amazing to me about this story? That anybody paid enough attention to catch him.
Well, she did.
But what is she doing paying attention to him?
Well, I don't know. Maybe she has like a Google alert or something.
For her questions?
I don't know.
I just have to, the only thing I can think of, and I was trying to think of this when I sent this to you, is that maybe she sent these questions to a band that he also approached, and they hit her back and said, hey, we already saw these exact same questions.
Well, maybe they did.
That's the only way I could see anybody, because I mean, look at the band, list the band names that he's interviewing. None of them are anybody that anybody's ever heard of. Not saying that they're bad bands, just saying that. Who's ever heard of these
guys? Well, they're all independent bands, I guess.
Yeah. So for Natalie to come up with that he's stealing her questions is amazing.
Well, I'm sure somebody had to tip her off.
Someone had to do it, but who is paying attention to the Moose? To the Moose Coffee Grinder or whatever his name is.
Yeah. Metal Coffee Grinder.
Metal Coffee Grinder.
Yeah. Always coming up with these slick names.
Yeah. You know, somebody did ask in the chat a little bit ago and I didn't address it, but I will. Yes, I did receive the J.S. Bannerman's new book. I have it. I haven't gone through it to find anything to read yet, but I do have the second J.S. Bannerman book.
Okay.
I just haven't gotten to a place where we could actually do some creative reading.
Right.
Not yet, anyway.
With Miss Cooksey.
Yeah, with Miss Cooksey.
Right. So anyway, to finish up Natalie's post.
Okay.
I have let Stencil PR and Doer PR know as well. Mm-hmm. They have terminated communication and working with Wes Moose JQ's companies he owns and or is running.
Wow.
If any of you other PR bands, labels, or management have received these questions from Wes Moose JQ's or any of his companies, do not, I repeat, do not accept them. What he is doing is wrong. I am willing to submit these questions to your division under my name, Natalie Perez, at Natalie's World.
Wow.
No problem. Just talk to me about it and we can go from there.
Okay. Why wouldn't she just write 10 new questions, copyright them, and then use those?
I don't know.
I mean, how much does it cost to copyright?
I don't know the answer.
$100?
I don't. Well, I'm sure Natalie doesn't have $100.
You don't think?
Nah.
You think she could save up for 4 or 6 months and come up with a hundy?
No.
She must have something. She has a web page.
Yeah, I know, but is it a free web page?
I don't think so.
No?
I think she actually shells out the $3 or $4 a month. Natalie's World. Let me see. I think she's like, yeah, she's nataliesworld.com. That means she spends at least $15 a year on the name.
Yeah.
And then she's got hosting. Yeah, she's on a WordPress page.
Yeah.
It's, oh no, she is on a free one, Blogger.
Yeah, of course.
It's on Blogger. Never mind. Well, she did spend the $15 to get the name.
Right.
I'll give her that. It's more than Moose West did.
All these people and their free stuff.
Yeah, well, that's how you make an impact. I will say her page doesn't look terrible, considering that this is on Blogger. This doesn't look that awful, to be really honest.
Well, Natalie has a phone number.
Do you want to call her?
818-937-30.
No.
What's on her website?
Oh, is it on the? If it's on the website, then go ahead and.
It's on the website. I mean, I'm at nataliesworld.com.
I thought you were reading it off the message. I was
No. This is it's on her website.
All right.
Reach out to us. Phone contact about FAQ.
I see it.
It's like private information.
You want to call her?
Yeah, let's call her.
Call her up.
I'm down for it.
All right, go ahead.
Let's see what it is. Let's call it up. 1-818-937-3052.
Hello. Please state your name after the tone, and Google Voice will try to reach.
Natalie Perez.
The Classic Metal Show.
Natalie Perez.
Is not available. Please leave a message after the tone.
Hi, Natalie. This is Neely and Chris from the world-renowned Classic Metal Show. We were just reading your post about Wes the Moose JQ stealing your questions, and we think it's wrong, too. So we're going to start a campaign to help you out and get this guy off the air, just like they did with Alex Jones. So, right. So give us a call, 800-497-5891. It's about 8 o'clock Pacific time, Saturday night. So give us a call, Natalie. We want to talk to you. Hail and kill. So there you are.
All right. There we go.
I left a message for Natalie.
That'd be great if she calls back.
Let's get this guy off the air.
Yeah, pal.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Yeah.
I like how she has her cursor set to where when you're picking around on her page, it's got the metal horns.
Yeah, that's a cool gift. That's a cool graphic.
So there you go. Natalie's World being taken advantage of by Wes the Moose JQs.
It's horrible. Horrible.
He's a terrible, terrible person.
That's right. He should be banned from the internet.
Yeah,
pal.
Yeah, they take Alex Jones off, but they leave Wes in place.
That's right.
This is a travesty of justice. I think we should start a campaign, Justice for Natalie.
Build a website for it.
Justice for Natalie. I love it. Isn't that what everybody's always screaming? Justice for so-and-so. Justice.
Put up our Justice for Natalie in a Patreon page.
Yeah.
To cover our quote-unquote expenses.
Right, exactly. I love it.
Too funny.
All right, I think we'll take a short break here.
Okay.
Our good friend Demon, or not Demon, but Jackal in the chat room. Nostra Demon Domus Jackal. Uh-huh. He's high on the old new Night Demon live release.
Yeah, it's good.
And they recorded it there at the Beachland Ballroom in Cleveland, Ohio.
Yep.
And he wanted me to play something from this new release.
Okay.
Which you can find it on Spotify. And you got a song?
Curse of the Damned.
Oh, you want to play that one, huh?
Yeah. All right. You can play any one you want. Except just don't play the one with Midnight on it. I don't like that one. The Evil Like a Knife or whatever.
I don't know.
That one's not very good.
What?
The rest of it's great.
All right.
I listened to it this afternoon. It's really, really good, but I just didn't like the one song with the guy Midnight from Cleveland that got up and sang with him. I didn't dig that one.
Yeah, I have not listened to this, so I have no reference.
Yeah, it's good.
I have no frame of reference. But nope. We're gonna play some of the new Night Demon.
All right.
So get your jizz rag out there, Jackal. Something to clean yourself off with when we're finished here.
Yeah.
All right, well, here it is. This is brand new Night Demon. It is the live stuff that was recorded last year at the Beachland Ballroom, and it is the Curse of the Damned. Exclusively here.
On your classic metal show.
This is Jarvis Leatherby of the band Night Demon, and you're listening to the Classic Metal Show. Keep it heavy.